Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 2nd of April, recording at 9:13 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights for the day. Asian stock markets had started well for the most part following the dramatic performance in Europe and Wall Street yesterday, but the China leash effect dragged them lower as China pared its gains, and so we saw mostly mixed to modest gains. Although the best performances were in the Nikkei, up 4.21%, and the Hang Seng Index and the H Share Index did quite well. Also, the Australian Index had bounced quite well. European stock markets were down initially, but closed with some quite reasonable gains. So UK FTSE up over 1%, for instance. And Wall Street, they were helped. Europeans were helped by the fact that Wall Street was showing modest gains near the highs of its day. But then Wall Street slipped into negative territory before recouping most of it prior to the close. So slight declines on Wall Street today. Government bond prices were mostly easier. The dollar was weaker in here today, with the euro having dipped to 155.34, currently at 156.94. That lifted precious metals, which were hit very hard yesterday. Gold's actually up 21.80 as I speak. That's it to 904. And industrial metals mostly firmer. The exceptions were nickel and aluminium, and particularly nickel. Copper rebounded. Lumber, a dog in my portfolio, bounced quite strongly in here today in my trading portfolio. And that's, what about crude oil? That must have rallied. Yes, it did. That's why that pushed gold up that extra bit. Crude at 104.73. So a good bounce from that $100 level once again. Okay, so what's going on here overall? As far as stock markets are concerned, we see some evidence of technical improvement, particularly in the European indices and the US indices. Say yesterday's gains and today's follow through, at least in Europe, is quite positive. A number of the indices are challenging their February highs once again. And that's quite interesting. That includes the FTSE Banks Index, and it includes Belgium and Sweden, and I think the CAC 40 is quite close to those range highs. And the others, most of the others, aren't that far off. And you remember what happened last time, last month. I think it was relatively early last month, or mid-month, that the indices got up towards their February highs. I think it was early March. But at any rate, indices in Europe and also in the U.S. had rallied to their February highs, failed up there, and then fell dramatically down to their lows for last month, whereupon some good upward dynamics occurred. A few downside failures with other indices holding near their January lows, and then pushed back up to test this prior resistance near the February highs. So this is an interesting level that all technicians will keep an eye on. What would be negative would be to see some downward dynamics from these levels that would reaffirm in traders' minds the resistance and invite the short sellers to come back in. But overall, I maintain that it's a process of bottoming out and support building generally. Now, Asia is underperforming at the moment, at least a number of the Asian indices are, and I attribute that to the China leash effect as much as anything else. Also, a number of those Asian markets had held higher, not China, of course, but a number of the others had been quite firm, really, and had been up near highs or actually on highs back in January, and then got sucked down as that deleveraging hit markets generally, and people sold those better performing markets because they could. Now, again, I think we're probably in a support building phase for these, but we have to be mindful that we would be lucky to see markets go into any kind of sustained upside trending action right now. The probability is that we'll get more backing and filling and support building, but that will lead to better gains later on. By no means a bad environment overall. Now, what about all that fundamental background and bearish sentiment? Certainly still exists. People are questioning some of the sentiment indicators that have been very, very positive and have certainly been influencing me since those January lows. Their track record is phenomenal. And sentiment indicators I mentioned yesterday, and I mentioned again today in my copy, tend to be better at market bottoms than at market tops. The exceptions at tops are when you get those feeding frenzy accelerated trends where you start hearing stories about hairdressers providing stock tips, that kind of thing. We saw that in China near its high, was it last year, I believe. Now, but generally, say the sell-offs occur a little bit more quickly. They're more emotional, lots of panic, blood in the streets, all that sort of thing, Armageddon talk. And then we had those very powerful positive sentiment readings, which you probably recall, but as new subscribers are coming in all the time, I just mentioned that going back to January, we had the highest short interest figure since the 1930s. So in other words, lots of bears were in the market. We had in January also the first net insider buying in the U.S. stock market since 1995. That's quite an important signal. I've already mentioned the extremes of sentiment. All the magazine covers, the dramatic photographs, predictions of markets just going to hell in a handbasket, as they say, and apocalyptic forecasts. That is not hyperbole to describe them as such. And then that investor sentiment indicator just becoming dramatically oversold. So those are very, very important signals. And I think, people always say, well, markets could become even more sold, or we could have even more capitulation. Well, in theory, yes. But that probably requires some new influence or factor on markets that people are not currently thinking about or talking about or even aware of. It would have to be some sort of shock, doomsday rock, some horrendous terrorist attack, something like that. All those things that are rare occurrences and hopefully won't happen. But is it going to be subprime related or one of those spin-offs from subprime? And I tend to think not. And I'm posting today, again, grateful to the collective, send in some which sends in some phenomenal articles. This one by Anatole Kaletsky talking about the difference between a liquidity crisis and a solvency crisis. I've got some John Hussman comments on that as well, but the Kaletsky one is the one that I think you'll find best in terms of learning and understanding more about this situation. And Really, we just had a crisis, a temporary crisis of confidence, and those tend not to last. And this is a situation where deleveraging was forcing down the prices of the good as well as the bad and creating some terrific values, and that's now beginning to be recognized by investors generally. So, as I say, though, don't expect any kind of dramatic moves on the upside. That doesn't mean that they couldn't occur, but that would be a pleasant surprise for those who are invested, rather than a probability, I would say. I think we have to expect lots of ranging, but probably with more markets putting some distance between current levels and their January March lows. More likely to be doing that than to be retesting, let alone breaking those lows, be my overall conclusion. Long-dated government bonds, not a great deal to say there, except that they do not offer good value. So they've been a safe haven, and that money, and that is a lot of that money that helped to push down long-dated government bond yields. Was not doing so on the basis of long-term investment merit, but just fear. And therefore, you have to think of that as being akin to speculative funds that will come out as soon as animal spirits in stock markets improve a bit more. And what about the US dollar? Well, ranging basically, I only envisage short covering technical rallies from time to time. That doesn't mean that the dollar is going to go on and collapse again, but everybody knows that the Fed will be printing. Everybody knows that not that doesn't mean that another of other central banks aren't printing. But the interest rate differentials are negative. U.S. economy is weak, as everybody knows that the U.S. needs a weaker dollar. These are powerful factors. Now, of course, a lot of other central banks do not want to see their currencies appreciating further against the greenback, and that would include the central banks in New Zealand and Australia, some of those high-yielding resources currencies, some of the Asian currencies that are very, very actively managed. I've said it for years in this environment. I've been saying it all decade. No country wants a strong currency. It's just that some want and need a weaker currency more than others. And of course, there have been discussions of possible multilateral intervention in which I've participated. But what we are seeing is unilateral intervention, mostly in the form of jawboning, and occasionally in terms of interest rates and possibly even a little bit of market activity by central banks. But it's mostly jawboning, talking their currencies down against the dollar periodically, and that meets with some temporary success, as we have seen. Precious metals. Still in this sort of medium-term corrective phase within the long-term secular bull market. Nobody should be selling out of these precious metals on weakness. We all had an opportunity to lighten on the real strength, and we got a good lead indicator of pending vulnerability in terms of platinum. So again, with these secular bull markets, if you're going to sell, do so when you're pleasantly surprised at how well they're actually doing, and to put that to have a little bit more perspective for that, I'm not talking about a rally off a low. I'm talking about when you've had a clear momentum play on the upside, causing that sector to be a relative outperformer. You see it all the time, rotationally in various different instruments, commodities, that sort of bandwagon starting, well, For many of them, it started back in August, certainly for the precious metals it did, and just continued and picking up the beginning of this year and into well into March. There's accelerating trends. If you're going to sell, if you're ever going to sell, to take profits, that's the time to do it. When everybody wants it and you're getting the momentum play and people are making those big bullish extrapolation forecasts on the upside. And they often make those forecasts just to calm their nerves. In other words, if I'm holding gold above $1,000, as I was briefly in futures, that's every warm body knows that that's an important milestone, and that it's had one heck of a good move on the upside since August. So we get nervous. But if we so that tempts some people to come out and say, well, it's going to 2,000 or 2,500 or pick a number, and people think, oh, well, it's not so bad here at current levels. If they're being a little bit naive, if they're allowing the morale boosting forecasts to calm their nerves, best to keep an eye on the chart and just to remember that euphoria, those aggressive forecasts on the upside, are always a contrary indicator. Just as all those additional meltdown forecasts, I should say, that we were getting in the middle of last month for global stock markets are a contrary indicator. So just as a general overall rule, if you're looking to buy, try not to chase. Try to, because if you're chasing, you really are dependent on that trend continuing to a meaningful degree to really profit from it. Whereas if you buy when everybody else is selling, we all know this. We all know this analytically, but it's tough to do at the time because markets always appear to be incredibly risky at the bottom. And we look back a few years later and say, how could we have thought that was risky back then? And look at all the classic sentiment indicators and so on. We all know this, but there are points worth reviewing periodically. Okay, so what about the rest of the commodities? Again, this is a secular bull market, but we are in this corrective phase. I would not expect many of them to be running to new all-time highs in the short term. That incidentally gives some psychological respite on the inflation front, although don't expect it to show up in the shops. And I think that's pretty much it. I've got some good items to post again, and I'll get on with that task in hand. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.